Larry.
Now I have to figure out. I have to be the one to do this.
But we got birthdays.
Well, no, we're going to skip birthdays.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to
happy birthday, Elizabeth, Debbie, David, and Manny.
Yeah, we're going to skip birthdays because I did say that I would bring this gentleman
there
on.
There he is.
I would bring this gentleman on the minute he logged in. And I don't want to be a liar. It's 11:32. We're 2 minutes late. Come on, you donkeys. Come
you
on,
hear
you
us?
Donkeys. Go ahead, John. Are you there, Jackie?
Am I here?
You're am I there?
Yeah, you're here.
Go you ahead, John.
You sent me a link weeks ago, and then you gave me the wrong date. I have no idea that link still worked. Usually the people I work with, the link is gone in 15 minutes. So I apologize. My fault.
Not your fault. Forget, don't worry about it. John, would you like to introduce the famous, legendary Jackie the Joke Man Martling?
This is famous Jackie the Joke Man Martling, a friend of mine for over 40 years. And
you realize I'm growing a beard so I can look like you. You realize that? All I have to do is gain 60 pounds.
And grow some hair.
It would not hurt. I was going to wear a cap.
Do a comb over.
Wait.
I have to tell a story about Jackie, okay. Just really
first,
quick.
First, I want to know, Tom, have I met you before? You look, it seems like I've met you before, or am I crazy?
You're not crazy, and you would have a very, very good memory, because 30 years ago, I booked you at a nightclub in Lake Apopka, New Jersey, called Central Park, and you were on the Stern Show at that time, and how...
And... Don't tell me. I will tell you who opened up. Don't say it. Bree Bridge. She wound up having her own television show.
Yep.
Some blonde. Brett What's
Butler.
Her name?
Brett Butler.
Brett Butler. Yeah. Brett Butler. Yeah. Right.
And
So this is why he has remembered every joke in the world. He's got an amazing memory. No, Jackie, this is one of my earliest memories. I remember going to your house when you were still living, I think, with your mother. Right. That's how long ago it was. And
not that long ago, my sister still lives there.
Okay, but we went there upstairs in your room, and it was this old, like, attic-type thing. And every time you heard a joke, you'd write the taglines on a piece of, like, poster paper, and you staple it on the ceiling, and you told us that every night you laid in bed, went through every joke up there.
Well, that is basically untrue, but I did have lists of jokes. Up there, but they were jokes I had known for 30 years, but that was the first joke land up there. That's where the $10 right. joke machines. Right now, every note I ever wrote that Howard said is in that attic, right where you were. I swear to God. And I typed and retyped, and I had all the, in fact, I freaked out when computers came around, and I put off getting a computer because I knew I had to put every damn joke I ever knew in the computer. And I knew what it was going to be. And then I heard about this thing they had where you put the paper in and it scans it and it puts it in the computer. I'm like, ah. And me and Nancy would lie there in bed and put a stack of pages. But the thing with those scanners, they were so crappy. You almost had to retype every joke anyway, you know. So, well, but yes, that's quite much what it was like. And there's still, you know what I got up there? Jesus Christ, I should have. There was a poster for Woodsy, Hawthorne, me, and you at Stony Brook for that classic night.
Do you remember that night?
You told that story, didn't you, John? Did you punch the guy out?
Woods walked home from my house in East Norwich, walked home to Huntington, and Hawthorne spent the night. I used to sleep in that attic. This is real early on, John. Must have been early 79.
Yeah.
And I was used to sleeping with my girlfriend or fooling around my girlfriend, and Hawthorne spent the night on my mattress. And I woke up in the morning, you know, groggy and hungover, and I opened my eyes, and here's this big, beautiful bare back. And I start kissing. I'm thinking it's my girlfriend. I start kissing the back, and all of a sudden, Portland's like, Jack, what are you? And I'm like, oh, you know, and he was a little on edge anyway. We never quite knew. And I'm like, I never told. No, Dave, I thought it was Louis. Jesus Christ, that was an actor. I didn't know. Oh, yeah. So, classic.
Jackie, I am telling you, do not kiss my back anymore.
Now, how much have you told Tom about Hawthorne and Woods?
We haven't really talked too much about him, you know?
Dave Hawthorne is about 6'3". He was in a three-man group in the early 70s at Nassau Community College with Billy Crystal, and I have their album.
Wow.
I can send it to you guys. They did marijuana bits and all kinds of stuff. It was Billy Crystal, Al Finelli, and Dave Hawthorne. And they broke up when a manager told Billy, you got to dump these guys. I can make you into a big star. So by the time we all met Hawthorne, he had been around for 8 years. He was already burnt out. He had had it. But he was so ridiculously funny, but so lazy. And Woods was a 300-pound. He just was a character.
300's being generous.
His act did not approach what he was as a character. And Hawthorne, we always were a little, we didn't know. We didn't think he was gay, but we weren't sure that he wasn't. And it was so strange. And I don't know if you know the show, the story. I'm sure you know this, Ferrantino, but me and Woods and Hawthorne got done with a show. We used to do shows. The very first show on Long Island was at a place called Cinnamon in Huntington at the corner of 25A and 110.
Top
it was
town,
upstairs in a restaurant, like Richie and me put on a show. I had the amplifier and the speakers, and he emceed, and I told dirty jokes. We wound up getting the guys from the city. It was the very beginning of comedy on Long Island. But when we first started doing it, it was mainly just the local guys. We got done with the show, and my car was parked on the street right in front of Cinnamon. And we're sitting in my car, and I'm driving, and Hawthorne is sitting shotgun, and Woods is huge, and he's in the back seat, but he's in the middle leaning forward. So it's kind of like the three of us, like Mount Rushmore, and we're smoking a joint. And out of this, I swear on my mother, out of a clear blue sky, Hawthorne leaned over and kissed me on the lips, and then turned and kissed Woods on the lips. And there was this incredibly pregnant pause.
Wow, that was some good dope.
And all of a sudden, Woods goes, is that it?
I was going to say. That was some good stuff.
It was the funniest moment in my life. Is that it?
Oh
God! So all right,
that show, that famous show that you're talking about at Stony Brook College, the agent when we got there said, "You guys don't mind if we put a case of beer in the dressing room?" And Dave Hawthorne's like, "No, we don't care at all."
The opening act was a mentalist, and a belly dancer, and while they were on, they went on and on. They were so boring. There was like a riser, and it was like 3 or 4 feet underneath. And Hawthorne climbed under the riser. And while this guy's trying to do his act, Hawthorne was like doing
The belly dancer came out, he came out as a belly dancer behind her with a sheet on his head and a rope tied around his head. I still remember this is the way he introduced the hit. It was a hypnotist. It wasn't mentalist. He goes, next guy is a hypnotist. He's a funny guy. He's a happening guy. He's a hypnotist. I know. I spoke to him briefly backstage. He put me to sleep. Put all my friends to sleep. Smiling guy. He's a happy guy. Let's get rid of this guy. That was his intro.
I remember is he was on for so long.
Yeah.
And at one point, I went to take a leak. And I came back from the bathroom, and you three guys was sitting in chairs on stage with this guy. And I went up on stage, and I don't know whether it was you or Hawthorne. I went up and pulled the chair up next to him and said, did he ask us to come up here? And whoever it was said, no, we're fucking with him. But we got so drunk, I still don't know how the hell we got home. I still to this day wonder how the hell we got home. But
we had a job once somewhere out on Long Island. It was Woodsy, Hawthorne, you, me. We were coming back. We stopped at some bar and we walked in, and Jackie makes the claim, I will stump anyone in here with a joke if we can drink.
That
for
was
free.
On the way home from the Purple Onion. I remember right. that night.
And he goes,
so they
I
didn't
will
want us to come in.
Right. So anyway, so he does.
I said to the guy, if you'll give us drinks, we'll make you laugh. And he was like, yeah, right. And within like 20 minutes, you're stupid birds from your act.
Yeah. Well, listen, wait, that's the point. Right. So wait, Jackie does starts doing stump the joke, man. They don't know any jokes. At the end of the bar, Bob Wood starts doing the Honeymooners Get High, his whole act. Dave Hawthorne, and you go to me, you're going to be next. So I run out to the car and get a bird because I was working with doves. And the guy goes, Jackie goes, and he's the magician. So I go, give me that napkin. And I took the napkin and I covered it up. I ripped it open and a bird came out. And the guy thought he saw God, right? He's going, put it on my shoulder. And then we were leaving. I go, I need my bird. He's going, make another one. I really want this one.
You know, we weren't drunk enough already. And we stopped at that bar for like an hour or two. Like it, we defied death, you know. I couldn't believe I made it through the 70s. And then all of a sudden, here we are in comedy. And it was worse. And, you know, by the time I got to the Stern Show, it just saved my life because I couldn't go out and get as drunk, even though I did, you know.
I'm sitting here trying to envision John as a dove act. I don't see him warm and fuzzy.
I don't think I've ever seen
him
as a bird.
You know? I've seen John when the audience gets a little rough. If the dove doesn't behave.
Isn't there a fake one? You use a fake one.
I just put this thing on gallery. Who the hell else am I looking at over there? Is that some couple that paid big money to sit in? Or are they magicians too?
Okay, this is Tom Drake. He's the comedian.
Yeah. I know who Tom Drake is.
Shut up and listen. This is Dottie. That's his wife, who's like the premier cruise director for all the cruise lines.
Hi, Dottie.
They love her.
Hi, Jackie.
And this is BJ Odom, who's like the announcer, voice, personality, and he's had a history of radio.
Yeah.
Good. That's a great choice of a nickname.
And you are Jackie Martling, Jackie the Joke Man.
Like, Dottie, I can do 45 minutes without saying fuck, so
can
get
you?
Me a gig.
Okay. Well, you'd have to do 2 45s.
Here's my COVID joke. A guy knocks on a neighbor's door and he says, hey, since COVID, I haven't seen your wife. And his neighbor says, oh, she's out in the garden. He says, well, I was out there. I didn't see her. He said, well, you got to dig down a little.
And my mouse just quit.
Oh, no.
All right,
you know, if you're a magician, you really shouldn't say things like my equipment stopped. You're supposed to be able to do anything. My mouse just quit. You know,
He's not a magician.
Stupid thing work. Yeah.
He's not a magician. He's a comedian.
Yeah, it's okay.
My mouse works.
I just want to know. I just want to know one thing. Did you and Minervini go? You don't have the same mother, right? If you close your eyes, maybe it's the internet, but I swear, if I was to mute the screen, I think Minervini's on the talking to us, but you seem more intelligent.
Well, that's number one, that's a gimme, but you're not saying we look alike.
No, you sound alike.
From years and years, you know. You know how I met him, right? We were, you know who Epi is from My Father's Place?
Sure.
I'm a comedian because Epi is a cheap bastard. Do you know that, Tarantino? Because Epi is cheap, I'm a comic. My band was working at my father's place, which was a
Off-Hour Rockers.
And we sucked. But once in a while, we got to play my father's place, and our fans would go nuts because we didn't belong there because it was such a, you know, the Rolling Stones and Springsteen, they all came through there at some point.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a gig. So we're all excited. And I go in the afternoon for a sound check. And we can't do the sound check because that cheap bastard Epi had booked the place for the afternoon for the Gong Show auditions for ABC TV to make a few extra bucks.
Yeah.
So I'm like so pissed off. So they're doing the auditions and I see these two comedians in the mix. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm funnier than these guys. And it was Minervini and Myers. And they came off and I said, you're a comedian. That's really cool. I said, why don't you stay around and see us? I tell some jokes and stuff. And after the show, he's like, wow, you're really great. You should come hang out at Dixon's with us. And I said, how'd you get to be a comedian? I swear to God. I said, how do you get to be a comedian? He said, I had cards printed. And I have the card. I can even email the scan of it. It says, Richie Minervini, comedian. And it was Betty Boop Enterprises. And it was Betty Patterson, who was Patty Smith's mother. And I went over to Dixon's and met all the guys. And that's just because Epi was such a cheap piece of crap. I met Richie and we started the show at Cinnamon. So we've been tight for Christ. I guess it's 41 years, you know.
Well,
just
Jack, did I ever tell you the story when I was in Chichen Itza, Mexico? I climbed the top of the pyramid. I think I sent you this picture. You probably don't remember. I climbed the top of the pyramid. I got to the top, and when I went inside, there was a 922 wine sticker.
I love those stories, man. I don't remember that specific one, but there were so many of them because they were so ubiquitous. Tom, that means they were everywhere.
Thank you.
It was. You remember Vinny D'Antona?
Yeah.
Vinny D'Antona's father worked for some company that made the huge numbers that they put on the outside of airplanes, like H396 or what, you know, the serial numbers, the huge indestructible plastic. And his father made me 5,000 922 wine yellow stickers made out of indestructible plastic. I've never been able to find one, but I know they're somewhere. Well, I'll tell you, I put those things. The best one was there was this wild chick named Yonit who was part of the gang in Fort Lauderdale comic strip. And she would have us over to her house and we'd try and bang the girls. And we usually didn't, but we'd get drunk and get stoned. And I went in to use a bathroom. And I was always looking for places to put these stupid stickers. So I went in to use the bathroom and I lifted up the tank top and put a 922 wine sticker just above the waterline. Just being an idiot, right? So, like a couple months later, all the comics are down there on New Year's Eve, and they went over to her house for a big party New Year's Eve. And, of course, there's so many people there. The bathroom, the toilet overflows. So one of the comics looks up the tank and said, "Yo, got a heart attack." And he's like, "922 wine stickers."
Okay, so
hang on.
You know, such a great payoff.
Hang on.
So tell him what 922 wine was, because that's an important part of the story.
No, what 922 wine is.
Yeah, it's still there.
Right. Oh, it's still going.
It's still going. When me and Minervini started the show at Cinnamon in Huntington in January 1979, we got this bright idea. I got the amplifier. I had already been doing shows by myself with my guitar and my amplifier and singing songs. And after I met Richie and those guys, sometimes they came over. Like Murphy came over and Nelson, Bartlett, Minervini, Myers, Hawthorne. And because they'd get 5 minutes on stage. It was a horrible little crappy bar. And I wasn't any good, but it was a place to stand up in front of a few people. And then when we started the show at Cinnamon, they said it was all right that we could have Tuesday nights. We're like, well, how the hell are we going to let people know? We have no money. And I got the bright idea, you know what I'll do? I'll just get a phone line and I'll put jokes on it. And when people call to hear jokes, I'll tell them about our show, which is, you know, that's radio, that's television, a little content, a little ad. And, it was so funny because everybody said, yeah, Martley got 922 wine because 922 beer was taken. Right? That was the old joke. What happened was at the time, it was such the East Norwich and the Oyster area was just blossoming. And I went to the phone company and the only numbers in the 922 exchange that were left started with 9. And I said, well, you know, can you tell me what's available? She said, no. I said, well, what?
Oh, no.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, no. We missed that. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
What if somebody called in? I said, what if I just give you a number and you can tell me if it's available? You know, I was schmoozing the girl. And she said, all right. So I'm going through. And things starting with 9, there ain't a lot of them because that's W. Okay? So I'm looking, and I asked her a few. I forget which ones. And then I saw 9463 spelled wine. I said, is 9463 available? She said, yes.
Got wine.
So it was 516-922 wine. And I put an answering machine in my mother's attic where my joke land was. That I had no money. So I threw everything out the window and put my joke crap in my mother's attic. Within 2 weeks, it was busy all the time. And you know, it's very funny because people that work for the phone company, just like any industry, are on the inside track. So the minute a guy's got dirty jokes on a phone line, everybody in the phone company knows about it, right? So I called up and said, listen, I had this phone line, and I got to get a second line. I got to have a rollover line. And they said, listen, we cannot give you a rollover line. It's not a business zone. You know, this is a personal residence. I said, come on. I swear to God, the guy said, wait a minute. Are you that guy with the joke line? I said, yeah. He said, hold on, let me see. And he came back and said, you know what? The foreman says we can do it. I got a second line. A couple weeks later, I called up. You know, you can hear people. I got tapes of Cinnamon, people yelling, we can't get through on that line. It was busy all the time. People calling and calling. I called up and said, I got to get some more lines. The foreman came to my house, to my mother's house, because they wanted to see this. And I got a second two lines. And a few weeks later, I said, I got to have more lines. And when they gave me six lines, the new foreman came because it was such a unique thing. Wow. And then Nancy came to work with me. And I called up and said, I got to have more lines. They said, all right, Jackie, by now we're on first name basis. The guys from PhoneMate love me. I got 10 PhoneMate machines, 5 extra ones, all these cassettes. Nancy's making the copies on the Nakamichi cassette player because there was no way to do it on the machines anymore. And they said, all right, we'll give you 4 more, but that's it. So I had 10 rollover lines with 10 one-minute answering machines. Now, the way a rollover line works, if you call 922-WINE and it's busy, the second machine goes off. If you call 922-WINE and the first two machines are busy, the third one goes off. But once the second one stops, if you call, that one goes off. So in other words, the only time the 10th machine would go off is if all 9 were engaged, okay? And it was only a one-minute answering machine. And Nancy's machine, we put last because it had a counter that went to 99. And I swear to you, 5 times a day, we set that 99 back to 0. Now, think about how many people had to call. That meant 10 people had to call within 1 minute for that to click.
Weren't you getting
5 or 10,000 calls a day? It was.
Weren't you getting like calls from like major corporations going, we have like an $8,000 bill to this number. What is it?
No, right? The number didn't. Number one, I never made people say, wow, you must have gotten rich. It was like calling my house. I never made a penny. It has cost me a fortune for 41 years, but it's paid me back in spades. We got calls from all over the world.
No, that's what I'm saying. Not that you charged, but they were long-distance calls to
your
number.
Oh, long-distance call. Yeah, people got in trouble. Rick Dees found out about my machine, and he was calling and putting my jokes on his national countdown. Hey, number 9 with a bullet. Remember that whole thing?
Yes, absolutely.
He would send out LPs to all the different markets, and he'd put my jokes in there. Because when I first started doing it, they yelled at me because it was too dirty, and they made me clean it up. And then they called the next day and said, clean it up a little more. I cleaned it up a little more. But this is 1979, and you have to be around then to remember that all of a sudden the world got a little looser. All of a sudden there was HBO, and all of a sudden you're watching TV, and there's bare boobs on the TV, and you're sitting with your mother. I mean, the world just changed. So I slowly made the jokes dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And Rick Dees, I was getting reports that people are hearing 922-WINE. My sister heard it in Minneapolis. My friend Bill heard it in South Jersey. And I couldn't put it together. Bill heard it on Z100 because they were playing Rick Dees' Top 40 on a Saturday. What happened was it got so dirty that Rick Dees called me up. And he said, listen, Jackie, I love your jokes. I give you credit. I put them on my shows. But it's gotten too dirty. There's nothing I can use. Would you do some jokes for me? And I said, sure. And I said, how are we going to do it? He says, well, I'll just say that you're a wacky dentist that lives in Encino. I said, how does that help me?
Yeah.
He said, let me think about it. I swear to God, he called back the next day. He says, how's this sound? You're Jackie the Joke Man Martling, the wild guy from New York that knows every joke. I said, sold. So Rick Dees named me Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
No
and
kidding.
He used to put it on his... He was number one in L.A., and he had a national show. And he used to tell his listeners that 516-922-9463 was Tom Selleck's home phone number. And the thing went berserk. Just went berserk. I couldn't make, I know it sounds like horse crap. I couldn't make this up. Absolutely. And I take people up in my attic because you could put in a Y adapter and plug in an actual phone. So when it rang, I could answer it quick before the machine. And usually they'd hang up because people calling from work. I said, don't hang up. Don't hang up. This is Jackie. This is Jackie. Where are you calling from? Most people had never heard of me, had never heard, never seen a sticker, didn't know from comedy. They just heard about the number through word of mouth. They saw it written on a bathroom wall. Somebody passed it to them. They all, just people calling for the jokes. For, I mean, from Mexico and Canada. And, you know, I think one time I picked it up, it was like Paris. It was just, you couldn't even make, it was incredible. It was just so fun, you know.
It was like viral before there was viral.
Yeah,
it was so viral.
How come you never made any money off of it? I would have definitely capitalized.
Well, in those days, when the 800 numbers started, if you live in Iowa, you would go and pay some money, you'd get an 800 number, and that's how it would work. You would not believe the red tape in New York to try and get anything. I beat my head against the wall and beat my head. I just said, the hell with it. People say, make it an 800 number. The trick is, in those days, until things changed, originally when there were 800 numbers, I don't know if you remember this, you had to pay. If somebody called your 800 number, you had to pay. There's a great story about this. When Comedy Central and Ha was the other comedy channel, when they first started, there were two comedy channels. And there was a show on one of the channels called Short Attention Span Theater.
I remember.
And Joe Bolster was the host. So Bolster had me on as a guest. I think it was like a 15-minute spot on Ha or whatever it was. Now, in those days, just like the Food Network or any of these networks, anything they had, they played a million times. I did Bobby Flay's food show. They were played 20 times a week for because they had no programming. And every time I was on there, they'd call Howard and say, Jackie's on that stupid show again with Nancy, blah, blah, you know. So I'm on with Joe Bolster. Now, remember, people have to pay if somebody calls their number. And underneath, while I was on, they Chiron, call Jackie's joke land, the joke line, and they didn't know what they were doing. And they put 1-800-922-WINE, okay?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 1-800-922-WINE is also 1-800-922-WIND. WIND, I got an irate phone call from this guy in California who had a business selling umbrellas and raincoats and rain gear.
Oh, man.
And his number went nuts and he screamed and yelled and went crazy. And I said, listen, it's out of my control. I called the station or whatever it was and said, you guys, you got to change that Chiron. They don't have any help. Nobody's getting paid. Nobody's going to take the time. So they kept replaying it. And every time it played, the guy, they did it again. God damn it. I wonder if that guy's still around. It's just the greatest story. I don't know whether it was a dime a call or a dollar, whatever it was, but he was pissed off. How classic is that?
So, Jackie, we got about 3 minutes left. How many jokes can you tell us in 3 minutes?
Clean ones.
I know Tom will be really disappointed if you don't rattle off a bunch of jokes.
So the wife says, get out.
Let me just say this really fast. You're the reason I'm a comic. And I told you this when we met 30 years ago, but you're the reason I do stand up. I went with my brother to Freddy's in Burnsville, down in the basement. Down in the basement, and I saw a comic for the first time live. I had seen him on TV, but I saw a guy live. And I couldn't breathe for 45 minutes. You were selling albums in those days because you could have been the president of a marketing company. Screw comedy. Nobody markets better than you. And I bought your album, and I said, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And I haven't grown up.
That's so funny. Ferentino, do you know what Freddy's was?
Yeah, that was.
Freddy's is the place where Myers didn't get a laugh for 5 minutes. And he said, well, God bless you, ladies and gentlemen.
And Jerry Stanley.
You talk about Jackie and promotion. I was working at that Purple Onion place. I guess when Myers was booking it or something later on. And I walked in, I met the guy, I handed the guy a press kit with like an 8x10 and a bio and a folder. I handed it to him and he went like this. He goes, oh my God, you're not like Martling. I'm going to start getting stuff every other day in the mail.
Well, that was Purple Onion. That was Myers booked that while he was down stealing everybody's material in Florida. You know,
well, you know what? I'm going to have to.
Minervini came back from Florida with all this great stuff. We were like, wow, look at Richie. He's really been working. Then a couple months later, John Schuller moved up to New York from Florida. He starts doing his act. He's, oh, there's Richie Zach.
So, come on, give us some jokes. Give us like a couple of jokes.
So the wife says, get out, get out, get the hell out. And as her husband's walking out the door, she says, I hope you die a slow, painful death. He says, so now you want me to stay? So a girl calls the doctor. She says, Doc, I got diarrhea. Can I take a bath? He says, if you got enough.
Come on.
So a girl goes into the drugstore and says to the pharmacist, I need to buy some cyanide to kill my husband. Lady, I can't sell you cyanide to kill your husband. You'll go to jail. I'll go to jail. You're crazy. She reaches her purse, takes out a picture, hands it to the pharmacist, picture of her husband banging the pharmacist's wife. He says, you didn't tell me you had a prescription. Hey, listen. The thing I do now, and I'm making good money at, is cameo.com/Jackie Martling. If you want to say happy birthday, congratulations on a divorce, send a happy graduation. Just you want to send jokes to your father to cheer him up. With this pandemic, so many people are doing it because there's nothing like 2 or 3 minutes of really filthy, fun jokes. People say, oh, call my, do one for my uncle. He loves Jew jokes. Do one for Sally. She loves Italian jokes. This is for my mother. Don't say the F curse, but do everything else. cameo.com/Jackie Martling, one word. And please, please do that. 516-922-WINE is my joke line. And I tweet jokes every day at 4:20 p.m. International Marijuana Time at Jackie Martling. Now, what are you going to tell me? We're done? I'm just getting warmed up.
Can I give you my favorite joke?
Huh?
Can I give you my favorite joke?
Sure. He knows it.
I will pretend I don't know it.
Okay, a couple gets married, and about a year later, she finds herself pregnant. She has a beautiful baby, gorgeous baby. Year later, pregnant again. Another gorgeous baby. The next year, pregnant again. This time, the baby's not so pretty. The husband looked at her and said, hey, are you cheating on me? She said, not this time.
There you go.
I went to write not this time. That's a fantastic joke. That is very dirty, though.
No. I do that on stage.
That's a wife cheating joke.
I do that on stage.
Oh, they're clean.
I was in Philadelphia.
I can tell jokes like that all day that are right up to the edge. People are like, oh, you can't hire Jackie. He's going to say fuck. No, it'd be so funny. You know, the most disgusting joke I tell, one of them is about a nun giving a guy a blowjob. But I tell it clean, and it's just as funny. A cab driver picks up a nun and looks in the rearview mirror and says, you know, sister, I always fantasize about being with a nun. And she said, yeah, you and everybody else. Are you Catholic? And she says, yes, I'm Catholic. She says, pull over. And he pulls over. She gets in the front seat and snuggles over to him, puts her arms around him, gives him a big, wet French kiss. And he pulls away and he says, sister, I got to tell you something. I'm not really Catholic. And she's like, well, my name's Ralph. I'm going to a costume party.
Yeah, right.
See, it's just as funny.
Jack and I were working in Philadelphia once, the weekend that the Liberty Bell was put back into service because they had reconditioned it. And Jackie got really cocky on stage. He went, 50 fat jokes, here we go. And he rattled off 50 fat jokes. And we were just in the back amazed. Then he got really cocky. He goes, 20 more. And then it got to like 20. And you could see like the till was dry for a couple of minutes. And all of a sudden he goes, all right, you donkeys, hold on to your seats. I got one more. She was so fat, the only difference between her and the Liberty Bell is her crack was bigger. The place went crazy. The place went crazy.
And that stayed in my act. I love Philadelphia. You know, we used to go on with John DeBellis, in Philadelphia years before anything, 4 years before I ever met Howard, you know, the Comedy Works and Bananas and Comedy Factory Outlet, all that stuff. Oh, it was so much fun.
Jackie, I got to ask, you know, he hasn't gotten over this. I asked John if he thought you would mind. I was putting stuff up for a podcast, and I was curious about Howard Stern if he had a pod. So I found he does podcasts, but I found a 3-minute segment on July 29th of this year with a guy named Sour Shoes. You know who this guy is? Who does your impression?
Well, of course I know who he is, because I guess he does me endlessly to where people are sure it's me.
Well, here's the thing. It's July 29th this year, 2020. Now, when did you leave the Stern Show? How long ago?
March 4th, 2001.
Okay. It is 2020, and this guy's doing you. Sour Shoes, supposedly Jackie Martlin from The Pool, and Howard says to him, hey, Jackie, remember when you left the show and you said we wouldn't make it? Remember you said I wouldn't make it once you left the show? How's that working out? And I'm thinking, all these years later, Stern still can't get over
let it go.
You can't let it go. This was only a week ago, and he's still pissed off.
Not to mention, I never said anything even remotely like that. You know, people say, what was all the intrigue? The bottom line, even though there were a million mitigating factors, I asked my boss for a raise. They didn't want to give me the raise I wanted, so I left. Yeah. That really is the bottom line of the whole thing. There was no threats, no craziness, no nothing. You know, a couple months later, I felt bad about it. And I actually called and said, listen, I'll take the deal if it's still on the table. But it had nothing to do with fame. Yeah. It had nothing to do with money and nothing to do with ego. And as an entertainer, you'll understand this. I had spent the last 15 years, 4 hours a day in a room with 3 or 4 or 5 other very, very funny people. And we laughed for 4 hours a day. And I thought, well, I'll just laugh somewhere else. And it just is an unnatural situation. And it was almost like heroin withdrawal. I mean, it's just like any comic. If you haven't performed for a couple of weeks, we all get itchy. You know, I go down, the poor guy in my local mail post office, I come walking in, he's like, oh, fuck, here we go with the jokes. Because, yeah, you got to do it. You know, so I got a little crazy. But, you know, there was no craziness to it at all. You know, that's so funny. And people, it is amazing how alive the whole thing is. I get emails every day. People stop me, and people actually stop and say, listen, I know you're sick of hearing this, but God, I really loved you on that show. I said, listen, if I ever get sick of hearing that, put a bullet in my head. Of course you don't get sick of hearing that. You know,
I was just shocked that all these years later, he's still bringing it back up, you know, and it's not a bad Martling that he does of you. It's not the, not.
Now- no, they say it's impeccable, you know, but of course, Howard knows that's him.
It's the laugh, you know, though. He's got a good laugh. The voice is okay, but he's got your laugh down pat. And I still in my head hear this punchline. I thought you said bend down.
The Ben Brown.
Yeah, he said bend down.
That's so great.
For 35 years I've had that in the back of my head. So,
Well, listen, Jackie, have you ever...
Good morning, motherfucker. Good morning, Reverend.
Rather than tell the post office guy jokes, come and tell us jokes anytime you want.
I will go on with you anytime.
We have what you described with Stern. We sit around for 2 hours and we laugh. And I say this humbly, comics that come on, they're like, oh, I got to do this thing. And then they come on and they're like, because we all have a good time, we laugh. And then what the hell else are we going to do? We're all entertainers. And my wife is an entertainer as a cruise director, and we have nobody to entertain. So
I totally get it. You know, for a while, I wasn't doing that many of these Zoom things because it took a while to get into it because I wasn't sure how to do it with the phone. And then when I had an iPad and I had it strung onto a music stand, and finally I went out and bought the stand for the iPad. And now I got a good stand and I plug. It's a simple thing to just click in and go, you know, so I do these Zoom things. I don't like doing them for 20 people or 30 people when you have to change screens because, you know, they start out listening. Next thing you know, they're picking their nose and they're ordering pizza and it's a shit show. But I'll talk to 5 or 6 people and, you know, they pay you good money and it's great, great fun. Nice. You know.
All right. Cameo.com then. That's pretty cool. Somebody wants to have Jackie.
Cameo.com/Jackie Martlin.
Yeah. But if you just get, they can go on there and search your name and still get it too, right? If they're
live. Yo, absolutely. And there's like five or six of the ones I've done already, so people can window shop. And what, if nothing else, you can go on there and steal 20 jokes. Well. Well, I'm going to tell you, Dottie, this is my favorite joke that's modern. Okay, it's a little naughty.
Okay.
So a girl goes to her high school prom, and the next day she's at the beach. She sends her mother a text: "Mom, the prom was great, but now we're at the beach, Mom, and I'm freaking out. I got cum in my hair." So her mother sends her back a text: "Dear, I'm glad that the prom was great. Listen, sometimes when you're blowing a guy and he wants to shoot on your face, he'll pull it out and they can't really control where it goes. And sometimes a little gets in your hair, but just jump in the water. It'll wash right out." And their girl sends her mother back a text: "Mom, thanks for the information, but I meant to type gum." That is the funniest joke in the world, man.
Well, Jackie, thank you. And John, thank you for arranging for Jackie to be here.
Jackie, anytime you want to come
back.
BJ,
nice to meet you. I want to come. My girlfriend works for Omnipop, and they book, they did book a million cruises, but as you know, things are a little bit at a standstill.
You have to have two clean 45-minute shows.
By the way, that's not...
I'll mail them to you tomorrow if you think about you. The one thing I can't do is not laugh. I gotta use my stupid laugh. A lot of people say just hearing my laugh makes them think of dirty jokes. So.
Jackie, at least once a day, either John or I are going, "Come on!" We've been ripping.
"Come on, you donkey."
When we started, Bob Woods, big fat Bob Woods, we've been walking around, we're doing shows and whatever, and every once in a while he'd go, "Come on!" And finally one day I said, "Woods, what the hell's with the come on?" He goes, "That's you, man." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You yell that on stage all the time to try and get them to laugh at your joke." I said, "You're full of crap." And even listening back to tapes, I never heard it.
Yeah.
It's like somebody that says, "You know," all the time. And all of a sudden I hear, "Come on!" I'm like,
"Well, we don't, I swear we don't rip off your jokes. Not one joke."
Oh,
but
please. These are not my jokes.
But we ripped off Gillette
says,
on.
Jackie is doing "Oh, Susanna" in the form of dirty jokes. They're jokes for everybody. Oh, I also have a documentary coming out called Joke Man. And it was done just in time for all the film festivals to shut up. But it's great. We got Willie Nelson and Penn Jillette and Stuttering John Artie Lang. And it's, wait till you see it. It's really fun. It's really great. Feature length documentary, you know.
Is it streaming anywhere so anybody can catch it?
No. We want to wait. Because the fun is going to be taking it to film festivals and doing this.
Yeah.
Because the Q&A, the interest is as strong today as it was. You know, it boggles the mind. You wouldn't believe the email. I got an email from a kid said, "Jackie, I'm 24 years old and I live in Toronto. And I just discovered the Stern Show a few years ago. And I really, really love it. And then I found out that they replay the old shows. And I started listening to the old shows. And it's kind of like having a new favorite band and then finding out their earlier albums were much better." How great a compliment. Yeah, I was like, holy mackerel. You know, I felt so good about that, I sent the guy a dial joke sticker.
All right, well, Jack, we have a tradition here. A friend of ours was on early on in the show when it was just John and I. He's a great ventriloquist and comic, and he does a great Greek captain. So we're going to get out of here with that. We thank you. Don't go anywhere because there's a little closing, almost like a real show, but it's not really a real show. It's almost a real show now. It gets better. How about
I'll give you a call.
Have you seen can you see how good the backdrops look? See how good John looks there? First class?
Yeah, it looks unbelievable. Looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
Boring times four.
We are here. Seven loud and one short blast on the six whistle. And put your head between your legs and kiss your kulu.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the big broadcast from the Best at Sea Entertainment Studios in sunny Central Florida. With Tom Drake, legendary comedy magician John Ferrantino, the producer Dottie. Make sure to listen every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Plus, if you missed any of today's big broadcast, download from Podcast Central or today's video after 2 on the World Wide Web at bestatsearadio.com. I'm the voice of Best at Sea Radio, BJ Odom. Till next time, see ya!
Come on!